This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in a series entitled Financial Help. Financial Help. The goal of this lesson is to explain the importance of being financially stable and to give you principles on how to get there. I believe that God wants us all to live a life of no stress, no strain, and no struggle. Everybody repeat after me. Say, no stress,
no stress,
no strain,
no strain,
no struggle. That is God's will for our lives, but the key is learning to do it God's way. If I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results in my life. So being financially stable in the natural, it gives you peace, amen. It causes you to provide comfortably for your family, amen. And, excuse me, it puts you in a position to be a blessing. It puts you in a position to be a blessing. And I think that that's the key. We want peace in our lives. And we want to be able to provide comfortably for our families. And then we also want to be a blessing. God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing. Anytime God starts blessing you, I think that it should be a result as you are already being a blessing. Does that make any sense? And so when he blesses you some more, you have to continue to be a blessing in your life. So we need the wisdom of God on how to get to this place of financial stability, because that's God's will for your life. It's not God's will for you to live paycheck to paycheck, be in between blessings. Don't listen to that stuff. That is not God's will. It's not God's will for you to be sometime up and sometime down. It is God's will for you to always be on top. You understand? Like that is God's will for your life. Proverbs, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, teaches us that wisdom is the principal thing. He says, therefore, do what, class? Get wisdom. He says, and with all thy getting, get what? Get an understanding. So we need an understanding from the Word of God on how to really handle our finances. You've heard me say it in the past that life is choice driven. You are where you are because of the choice that you made in the past. If you don't like where you are, there's no use in beating yourself up, no use in crying over spilled milk. Just start making better choices. And as you start making better choices, it puts you in a better place. And Deuteronomy 30 and 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. He says, therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So the choices that you make today not only affect you, but they affect your children and your children's children. And I believe that that is why it's so vitally important that we do two things. I think a couple weeks ago, maybe when I first opened up, I told you that Lady LaCante and I, we've learned a lot of things in the Word of God, but two things that we've learned that I believe that have brought us to this place is we've learned to live right and we learned to give right. You put those two together and a lot of things will fall the way they need to. So money makes a fantastic servant, but how many know it's a horrible master? I don't believe in living by statistics, but I do believe in looking at them. And last week we said that 7 out of 10 people live paycheck to paycheck. That's not God's will for your life. 35% of Christian marriages end up in divorce, and money problems are the number one cause. And so we live in this pressure society where everyone wants to compete and everyone wants to compare, and you know everyone you know wants to just how you say this nicely? You can't live up to what other people are doing because you really don't know what they're doing. Does that make sense? So just because you see them on Instagram, you got it, that might not be their real life. Does that make sense? Because you see the pictures on Facebook, that might not be their real life. And so, you know, don't try to hang with the Joneses because you don't know what interest rate they're paying on that new car that they just got. You got it. And so don't compete. Don't compare. Learn to march to the beat of your own drum. You got it. Learn to walk God's word out for your own life and be content and happy where you are while he's taking you to even better in your life. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. There you go. And so when you look at being financially stable, we said that it will always connect to good stewardship. Lady LeConte and I, we understand the importance of good stewardship. We have always had a plan. We've always agreed concerning money. In the early days, I was a calculator man. I always had a calculator on me. You got it? Because, you know, if we wanted to do stuff, you know, if we could do it, if she wanted to do it and it was in the numbers, you got it, the calculator numbers. All right, we would do it, but if not, then we wouldn't. And we never fought about money because our whole thing was, why fight about something you don't have? Like, I could never understand why people fuss and fight about money and those kind of things. And I think that that's the whole selfishness piece that God is trying to get rid of in our lives. You got it? But we understood whether there's clarity of vision, there's acceleration toward the known goal. So we understood what God wanted to do in our lives. We had a clear picture of what God wanted to do in our lives. We set some goals, and by the grace of God, we have met those goals and continue to set new goals. And that is the key. The more we understood stewardship and applied it in our lives, the more we increase. And it did not happen overnight, but it happened over time in our lives. Everything about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight. You know, people, you'll see somebody and you'll see their life and you'll see how God's blessing you. Like, I want that life. And there's no problem with wanting to live a life like that, but you shouldn't want their life because you don't covet other people's stuff. Right? But it's okay to want to live an incredible life, but you've got to understand that you don't get there overnight, but you get there over time. All right? And so we said that when it comes to stewardship, there's two legs. You have the giving component and you have the managing component. We have been trying to get through this managing component for the last three times we've gotten together. I think we're going to get through it today. All right? So we said that were several things that we had to understand about financial stability and good stewardship. And the first thing, point number one we gave you, was that everything belongs to God. Like everything belongs to God. Whether you realize it or not, everything you have really does not belong to you. You are just managing it. It all belongs to God. Psalms 24:1 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell within. He says the silver is mine, the gold is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills is mine, and those kind of things. And you can't say, I will tithe when, or I'll be a blessing when, or I'll do more when. No, you have been given enough right now for you to demonstrate to God you can be trusted with more. You got it. And so the test of my stewardship is not in the big things, but it is in the small things. The Luke 16:10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in least is also unjust in much. What does that mean? That just means that money just magnifies who you are. You got it. Money just magnifies who you are. You got it. When you get money, watch this. If you're generous, then that probably means you were generous when you didn't have much. When you start getting money and you're stingy with it, it probably means that when you didn't have much, you were stingy. You got it? Because money just magnifies who you are. Number two, we said that faithfulness was the key. Faithfulness was the key. And we went to 1 Corinthians 4:2, and it said, moreover, it is, what's that next word? Required in stewards. And you see how the Bible really requires things. Although pastor tries to present you the gospel in a way where you can make decisions and you can make decisions for your own life, there's a lot of things that God really requires from us, right? And so it is required in stewards that a man be found faithfulness. That a man be found faithful. So faithfulness is the key to seeing the blessings in your life. All right. This is kind of where we kind of close. We talked about a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Financial blessings are activated by our giving, which makes sense. You got it. They are maintained by our faith, because if it's your faith that got you there, it's going to be your faith that's going to keep you there. Right. And they are increased by my stewardship in tithing. Is just the first step in stewardship, but it's not the last. So you could have your monthly, you know, your weekly bills could be $300 a week. Somebody say, praise the Lord for that, isn't that right? That's possible. And see, oh man, some people don't believe that's possible. No, $300, no, because I want a nice house and a nice car. Why can't it be paid off? See, but people don't want to go that far in their mind to realize that God is that big of a God that he can pay your house off, he can pay your car off. And so the $300, that's just utilities, praise the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you could be $300 a week in bills, making $2,000 a week. You got it? That's what we call margin. I love the word margin. I get excited about the word margin. What is margin? Margin is the difference between your load and your limit. Margin is what you have after you have paid all your bills. And I don't know about anybody else. I'm not trying to compete with anybody, trying to go get something because somebody else had it. I'm going to keep my monies in my pockets. You got it? Yeah. And so anything I have, I can afford. Does that make sense? Anything you have, you should be able to afford. You got it? Because you're not trying to compete and compare. All right? So anything I have is because I want it. Does that make sense? So anytime I go get something, you got it. It's not because so-and-so. No, it's because it was a desire of my heart, and that's what I wanted. You got it? And God will fill any bag you give him as long as you give it to him in faith. All right? There's nothing that is too hard for God. The key is, watch this, developing your faith to get to that point where you really believe that it's possible in your life. You got it? I remember we were driving, we were living on 201 Cardinal Road in Jacksonville. This is a testimony, not a testifony. And we were driving a little Suzuki Swift. I call it a little Fred Flintstone car. And the reason why is because that thing sat so low to the ground. Like when you got in, it was almost like them Ferraris. You had to get all the way down to sit in it, but it wasn't a Ferrari. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I remember one Saturday I was watching college football. I have always loved football. You got it? Now, of course, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. But I just, truth be told, I just love football. Like I don't care who's playing, I love football. I was watching something the other day. It was a little peewee football. I just like it. You got it? And so I remember it was a Saturday, and a lady, of course, she wasn't a lady at that time. She was my lady, praise the Lord. This is years ago, and she says, hey, will you help me watch the car? I said, yeah, I'll be there in a little while, because I was trying to watch the end of this fourth quarter because it was a good game. It was only a few minutes, and so the car was so small, by the time I went outside, she was already done cleaning it. You understand? And so watch this, but it was in that house, living in a house that we were paying rent, you got it, we were living paycheck to paycheck. We didn't make that much money, but we never had to borrow anything from anybody because we always lived within our means, you got it? And so what happened was, it was in that little house that I really began to learn and understand the word of faith. It was in that little house that I really began to understand confession. I heard about it in church, just kidding, but I'm really getting the revelation of it, that I had to visit my future on the campus of my imagination of what I wanted my life to be like, that God would fill any bag I gave him as long as I gave it to him in faith, that it was required that not only God be my source, but he be my only source. And I started making confessions. I'm talking about, we're living paycheck to paycheck, and I'm walking through the house, only one car, so lady got to drive the car, you got it, and I walked to work. True story, you got it? And then finally, when we got a new car, lady got the new car, I got the old car, you understand? You got it? Brothers, you just take notes. And just trust pastor, all right? You got it? And so what does that do? That keeps us in faith. You know, finally I went and got another new car when our budget worked and those kind of things. So we was both driving new, praise the Lord. But I don't want you to, you know, start driving new and then forget about her, praise the Lord. But anyways, you know, I mean, if you say she your queen, make her your queen. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. But it was in that room, it was in that house that the lady would leave and go to work, and I would work in the afternoon. I was working at this place called Ecom, and I was making $6.25 an hour in the afternoons. It was the most aggravating job in my entire life. Because across from Ecom was Jacksonville High School. And in Jacksonville High School, a bunch of kids would come over and they would work the afternoon shift that I was working. So I'm just getting out of the military, the Marine Corps. You got it? I'm professional. I got integrity, all these. And I'm working with children. You got it? But God was teaching me some things in that process. You got it? He was teaching me humility. He was, because I needed to learn some humility. You got it? I did. I was kind of proud when I was young. I'm not proud to say that, but I got to tell you my whole story. You got it? I was 19, 20, running things in the Marine Corps. I thought I was the man. I did. And God had to teach me, you're not the man, I'm the man. But if you follow me, you got it, everything will work out in your favor. You got it. And so I had to learn how to get rid of pride and walk in humility. How I had to learn how to trust God as my source and all those things. And we started making these confessions. And my whole thing is if the Bible works, I'm going to work this word. You got it. And we would always give our tithes. We'd give our offerings. You know, at that time, I'd give $20 to my man of God. You know, and I'm working every principle that I know to work. You got it. And I'm walking through the house. Father, I thank you. I'm praying over our marriage that we will be married together until Jesus returns. There's no lack or envy or no selfishness in our lives. We are walking in our wealthy place. We are walking in our overflow. We are multimillionaires. You got it? And those kind of things. Watch this. Watch this. And I wasn't even a $100 heir. After we paid our bills, I'm not sure. There was weeks we didn't have $100 left. You got it? But I understood, watch this, that my situation wouldn't change the word, but the word of God would change my situation. And to the degree I believed the word and acted on the word and kept confessing the word, that I see it applied in my life. Does that make sense? And so God opened amazing doors. The Bible, this is why it's so important to give, because the Bible talks about how he opened up the windows of heaven in Malachi. And in Malachi, the windows of heaven does not mean literal windows in heaven where God is just dumping out $100 bills and you're just walking and you just see all this money raining. You're like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's not what that is. That is insight. That is opportunity. That is favor. You got it. That is the wisdom of God. You got it. That is open doors in your life. And so God began to open doors in our lives. I remember this one guy said, I don't even why I'm helping you. And I was getting into businesses and those kind of things. Not overnight, but over time, we went from making $6.25 an hour to making $2.7 million a year. Watch this. All because we chose to do it God's way. Now, watch this. This is long before we ever started pastoring. My story might not be exactly like your story, and you might not go through everything that I went through and get exactly what I got. But what I'm telling you is that God has an incredible plan for your life to increase you, to bring you to a place of overflow and plenty if you will walk up this word and just believe. Does that make sense? Mark 9:23 teaches us, if thou canst believe. I've been off my lesson for the whole time, but I'm going to get there in a little while, but in the back, y'all. The Bible tells us in Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, not some things, but all things are possible to him that believeth. So possibilities for me are not defined in terms of human logic or intellectual reasoning. Possibilities for me are determined by how I can believe. If I can believe, it becomes possible for me. Now, if you just listen to my story, and when you got there, said, I ain't listening to that guy, you know, I ain't listening. That's okay, but you'll always live the life that you live right now. Does that make sense? Yeah, you have to believe that God is bigger, that God is greater, and that God is able to do what his word says in Ephesians 3:20, to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. There are some things that you just have to have faith for because your level of thinking hasn't even gotten there yet. But God says, I can do more than whatever you're thinking right now. So you start believing and thinking, on some things. God says, I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that, right? And so you've got to understand that. All right, so and point number three, our last point, is discipline yourself to make the change. Discipline yourself to make the change. Personal finance is 80% behavior and only 20% knowledge. Did you hear what I said? Personal finance is 80% behavior and only 20% knowledge. Why? Because money's not hard, right? If you, watch this, don't have more going out than you have coming in. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so Proverbs 21:20 says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. And so you've got to learn to save some money. Live below your means. Live below your means. That's why some people are stressed out. They're not living below their means. See, I believe in margin. I just told you that word. I love margin. Man, I get excited about that word margin. Like, y'all think I love that word margin. I love to after our bills are paid, you got it, that I can look at you like, whoo, praise the Lord. You got it? Because why? Now I'm able to be at peace. Now I'm able to provide comfortably for my family, and now I'm able to be a blessing. And Lady LaConte and I, we are always a blessing. Yeah, you know, and so I just, you know, I have Cash App. You got it. But I don't really, and people Cash App me, and I thank God for that. But Cash App is not really for someone to be a blessing to me. Cash App is really for us to be a blessing to other people. We love Cash App. Because even if I can't see you and God puts me on your heart, boom, I could Cash App you. All right? And so two reasons why people live above their means. Number one, they are not content. They are not content. And you gotta learn how to get to a place of contentment because, you know, God wants to bless us more and more, right? But he wants us to be content where we are. Philippians 4:11, Paul says, I have, what's that big word say? You have to learn contentment. Not just in money, in a whole lot of areas of our lives, you got it? But you have to learn. Paul said, I have learned to be content. So it even sounds like the Apostle Paul said, this is something I had to figure out. I had to learn to be content in whatever state I am. And so my contentment doesn't rest upon what I have. It rests upon who God is. He is the sustainer of my life. He is my redeemer. He is my joy. He is my peace. So watch this. So I'm content in who he is in my life. So I don't have to look at something you got and want it just because you got it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I don't tie my value, watch this, in the stuff. Because the Bible says that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. Well, Pastor, you drive a nice car. Yes, because I like the nice car. But watch this. The car don't make me. I own the car and the car don't own me. Well, you live in a nice house. I sure do. I'm not trying to hide those things. But what I'm saying is I live in the house I live because it was a dream of mine. It was a desire of mine. But watch this. The house don't make me, right? I'm nothing's going to happen. We're going to be able to stay in the house. But if tomorrow I couldn't live in that house, I did not lose any value because my value was never tied into the stuff. I am who I am because the relationship I have with the Father and the blood that Jesus shed for me. You are who you are because the relationship that you have with the Father and the blood that Jesus shed for you. And that's what makes you valuable because you are a peculiar person, the Bible says. In other words, the word peculiar means that you have been bought with the price and you have been bought with an incredible price because Jesus paid the ultimate price by shedding his blood for you on Calvary. And that's what makes you who you are. You got it? And so all our lives, if you've been around our ministry long enough, you realize that pastor don't play favorites. Y'all know that. I should have got a whole lot of more amens than that. Pastors never played favorites. You got it? You know, when I'm with you and I'm talking to you and those kind of things, man, we're having a great time. When I'm with another member talking, we're having a great time. It's not like, yep, I'm going to be with them and I don't like them. I don't even believe in that because that's not God's way. We are all God's children, you got it, and we are all God's favored children. Some people like to throw favorite in there, you know, that's, you believe it how you want, but we are all, if you're God's favorite child, then guess what, we're all God's favorite children, right? And so our value is not tied into what we have, you got it, our value is tied into the relationship that we have with him, all right? And so, two reasons why people live above their means. Number one, they're not content. Number two, they don't count. Luke 14:28 says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down and first count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? You got it? Well, how much do you make? Well, Pastor, I make $3,000 a month. Well, how much are your bills? Do you have a budget? What's a budget? Do you have a plan? What kind of plan? Oh, I got a plan. Yeah, to be a millionaire. Well, how are you going to get there? I'm just going to believe God. That's not a plan. Right? I got a plan to be debt free. Okay, well, show me your plan. Oh, no, I believe I receive. Yeah, that's part of it. But you have to have a plan because then when you get paid, you got it. You go right to the mall or right to Amazon. You already know. You got it. We got all kind of cameras at our house and stuff. And it seemed like the Amazon guy at my house every day, y'all. He's the other day. I almost want to be like, I bind you. No, I'm just playing. No, because any, oh, see, but anything lady wants within our means, she gets. Because our whole thing is we give to God. Hit that for me in the back, please. Prioritizing. We give to God. We pay our creditors. We save money and we enjoy the rest. I'm going to give it to you again. Number one, we give to God. All right, the tithe belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. It is the accursed thing. It is the holy. It is set apart, right? And so it belongs to God. And in Malachi, do you notice the Bible says that you have robbed me? What does that word rob mean? It's to steal. He says in tithes, And okay, so y'all know the scripture, and offering. And so I am to give tithes and offering. A tithe is a tenth. An offering is based on you and Holy Spirit and what he tells you to do, right? And so I have to give to God. And then the next thing I do is I pay my creditors. Why do I pay my creditors? Because when I sign that dotted line, I sign that dotted line saying I'm going to pay you back on the 7th of every month, the $100.83 or just whatever it is that I owe. And so I'm going to pay you back. You got it? I'm not going to let the baby get the phone when the credit call, and then, you know, you tell them, you know, tell them I'm not here. And they say, hey, my mama said to tell you that she's not here. That's not integrity. You got it. That's not integrity. All right. So I'm going to pay creditors. I'm going to give to God. I'm going to pay creditors. Then the next thing I'm going to do is save money. Well, Pastor, I can't save anything. Just save $5. And you might think, oh, he's trying to be funny. No. It's learning discipline. That every payday, after I give to God and pay my credit, I'm going to put $5 aside. It teaches me, because if you do that, you know, for 18, 27 weeks, you look and say, oh, man, that's starting to build up. And just watch this. And as things get better, then save $10. And then save $20. But just start where you are. But always save something. Never spend everything that you have. Right? Write this. And then you enjoy the rest. Right? And that's the whole margin piece, that you should have enough to give to God, to pay your creditors, to save some money, and to be able to enjoy the rest. All right. So you have to have what we call some no matter whats. Everybody say no matter what. Number one, no matter what, I don't borrow unnecessary money. I don't borrow unnecessary money. It is not wise to spend $25,000 on some living room furniture and you're going to have to pay for it for the next 37 years at $99. That's not wise. That's not wise. You got it? It's not wise. I mean, Lady LaConte and I, when we first got married, you know, when I proposed to her and got married, I started working on buying a house. You got it? You know, and we bought a little, what you call that little house? Townhouse, duplex townhouse. Where do we live? Hunter's Creek in Jacksonville? Yep. And the house cost me $99,000. And I was in the military. Thank God for the VA loan. I was able to get it, you know, and those kind of things. I was qualified for more than that, but I like a word called, praise the Lord, right? Yeah. But we went down to, I don't know what kind of stores they were. They're almost something kind of like a Big Lots, where they have a little furniture in the Big Lots. You got it? And, you know, that little dining room table, it's the tan with the white legs. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. I was praising God, you know? And look, and I showed the lady, she said, oh, yeah, that's nice. I said, hey, glory. She likes it. Praise the Lord. You know, no, we didn't go buying a whole bunch of stuff like that. You got it? You know, and so, yeah, I mean, over time, you know, because we set drinks on it and then the top started peeling, that kind of thing. But that's okay. Put a tablecloth over that joker, made it work. Isn't that right? You got it? You do what you have to do until God blesses you with more. Right? And so I did promise Lady Baby, it ain't always going to be like this. It's going one day, you're going to be able to get what you want and do what you want, those kind of things. Watch this. And she was okay with that. Why? Because she knew that Brother Man had a plan. And I think that was the key. I had a plan, all right? So no matter what, I don't borrow unnecessary money. Romans 13:8 says, keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another, all right? Number two, no matter what, I have an emergency fund. No matter what, I have an emergency fund. It is extremely imperative that you save and not spend all your income. Having an emergency fund causes your emergency not to become a crisis. You got it? Dave Ramsey, I love Dave Ramsey, and he teaches that you should have at least $1,000 emergency fund, you know, that you don't touch it for anything unless it's a true emergency. You got it, you know. I mean, it's been a long week, and they did you wrong, and you just want to go to Ruth Chris. That's not an emergency. Praise the Lord. Number three, no matter what, my spouse and I agree on big purchases. Everybody say no matter what. So, brothers, so sisters, if y'all talk and you don't agree, don't get mad. Just table it. You got it? And just go pray and say, well, Lord, you know, that's something I want. And so, you know, you're going to have to talk to her. You're going to have to talk to her. And just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Don't start being at odds with each other and stop talking. And, you know, just all kind of crazy stuff. You know, all too much spacing, about pillows all down the middle of the bed. Now, we don't want to go down that route. That ain't God's will. Sure ain't God's will for my life. I'll throw them pillows out the door. I'll throw the whole mattress out the door, praise the Lord. I don't believe in that. People used to be like, Pastor, you in the doghouse? Ain't no doghouse at my house. I kicked the doghouse anyways. No matter what, my spouse and I agree on big purchases. Why? Everybody say why. Agreement is the keeper of peace. Agreement is the keeper of peace. You got to get that. Agreement is the keeper of peace. And so the reason that there's peace in our relationship, in our marriages, and this is true. Like, Lady and I, we always come to a place of agreement. Even if I come to her and say something she doesn't agree, we talk that thing through. If she tells me why, I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. I just agree we're going to hold off. Or she comes to me, you know, just vice versa, you know, because agreement is the keeper of peace. We're not going to fall out with one another because we can't get something that we saw that we like. It just doesn't, it's material things. They pass away. Praise the Lord. And last one, no matter what, I give a tenth of my income to my local church. I give a tenth of my income to my church. This must be a non-negotiable in your life. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Achan lost his life. His family lost his life. You got everything, all because they took something that belonged to God. Thank God we now live in the dispensation of grace and God ain't killing nobody. But the tithe still belongs to the Lord. I think this is a good place to go home. Eric, can I get a?
Amen.
Are you saying amen because you want me to stop and go home, or amen about that? Okay, I just. It's the whole righteous expectation versus unrighteous expectation. It is a righteous expectation that if I'm living right, if I'm giving right, if I'm doing these things, then I can expect the blessings in my life. It is an unrighteous expectation for me to think I can live any old kind of way I want to, act any old kind of way I want to, treat my wife any old kind of way I want to, just do, you know, not give to God, just do whatever I want and expect God, oh, he's going to rain on me. No, that's an unrighteous expectation. And so we've got to learn to give. If I had time, and I don't, I could go through all these scriptures and explain to you that waiting for everything to be right for you to start tithing and giving and becoming a good steward will always cause delay in disobedience. Delayed giving always equals a deferred harvest. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Like you can't, you never, when's the right time to give? Now's the right time to start giving and doing it God's way. If you do it God's way, you're going to get what? God's results. I talked to you about the Big Giving Day. Big Giving Day is not till March 6th. Why? But if you go ahead and start praying now and hear me, get an expectation and get in faith on what you want to sow, God will produce it in your lives. I remember years ago, our pastor do the same thing, you know, Big Giving Days, challenge people to give $1,000, and we couldn't give $1,000 at that time. You watch this. So I thought, until I learned, no, man, if we put our faith on it, like if we really put our expectation on it, man, we started praying, agreeing. My wife and I, we took our hands, we prayed, Father, we thank you. We believe, we receive in Jesus' name on our Big Giving Day. We're going to be able to give $1,000 and those kind of things. And it was so funny how money would start showing up. And so the question is, when it started showing up, now what you going to do with it? You going to go to Ruth Chris? Or you going to put it in savings? You got it? We have some people that ask us, can I go ahead and start giving on my big giving? You got it? Especially when, what's that time called in the beginning of the year where y'all get all that money? Income tax. You got it. I don't get money. I have to give money. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, I don't know how y'all be getting $7,000, $8,000. I tried to figure that out all my life. I ain't figured it out yet. But sometimes people will be like, Pastor, can I go ahead and give now? Why? Because they want to make sure that, you know, before they go spending all that money that they give what they promised God, what they promised God. I'm not real big on, and just hear me out before I say this and then we'll close. I'm not real big on having you guys make vows. Sometimes I've done that. And the reason I'm not is because when you look at the Word of God, when you make a vow, you better pay that vow. You got it. And it's a very serious thing to God when you make a vow that you pay it. And when I look through scripture and look at what happened to people who didn't pay vows, I was like, no, I'm just going to challenge everybody to give and they're going to pray and obey God. I'm not even going to put you in a situation to be excited, you know. And one thing you learn when I teach on giving, I don't try to get y'all excited. If you just give the $1,000, God, I said, God. Anyways. Yeah. I don't do that. Because then you get all excited. Imagine if I would hit some of them notes and then the musician would start getting, you're like, yeah, I'm giving $25,000, you know. I'm making a vow. And then tomorrow you'd be like, oh, Lord, I ain't going to be able to do that. So I don't even put you in positions like that. I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to teach the word with simplicity and give you opportunity. Does that make sense? Because you got to get this. Giving is not about, watch this, the church doing okay. The church is always going to do okay. Why? Because it's God's house. And it's a holy house full of integrity. This is a pure house. God's going to take care of this house. So yes, when the tithes and offering come in, yes, they count it. They put it in the bank. Everything's documented. And yes, that's what we use to get the carpet and those kind of things. You understand what I'm saying? But giving is more, watch this, about you living a quality life, about you being in covenant with God, about you having the blessing on your life. Does that make sense? There's people along the way that I don't like to get in stuff, get mad. Like, I'm not giving tithe to y'all no more. Well, you weren't giving it to us. No, you were giving it to God. You know, not many people have gotten mad and left our church, and we thank God for that. You got it, and prayerfully in Jesus' name, that won't happen anymore. But in the early days, especially, you got mad, and I ain't giving y'all going down. And no, this is God's house. Like, without limits, ain't never going to. If Pastor James start acting stupid, God will just get rid of me and put somebody else here because this is God's house. God's house always going to be all right. Does that make sense? Yeah, this ain't, you know, somebody, I was in store, man, this caught me off guard. I was in the store the other day, and someone said, oh, that's the guy that owned the church. I said, no, I do not own anything. You know, and I understand what they're saying. I said, I pastor the church. It is his own entity. We have a 501c3 with the government. Like, I don't own anything. And he said it loud. Everybody was looking. I was like, oh, Jesus. Sometimes I got to watch where I go, praise the Lord. At the end of the day, God wants you to live a life of no stress, no strain, and no struggle. And so you've got to make it up in your mind. Are you going to take these principles that Pastor and Lady teach you and apply them in your life? You've heard our testimonies. We started at the bottom, and it was God that raised us up. Before we were millionaires before we ever got to this church. And so God reminded me, son, it's important you keep telling your testimony. Because sometimes, you know how it is. People think that you act in arrogance, so then you stop telling it. God said, you can't worry about them. Because there's people that are in faith. They're believing me for big things. And so you've got to keep, watch this, keep sharing your stories and keep teaching faith and keep telling them how big I am. Because if they can get in faith and they can get an expectation, I can do anything but fail in their lives. And that's what God wants to do in your life. And so, Father, even now in the name of Jesus, I just declare that we are taking this word and we are applying it in our lives. And as a result, that every person under the sound of my voice is walking in the blessing. And it is the blessing that is the anointing to prosper that will bring all the blessings in our lives. So I thank you, Father, because we are givers, we are in covenant with you. I thank you that you are giving us the wisdom on how to handle money and have more and more margin in our lives, oh God. I thank you, Father, that we are cheerful when we give, that we understand that seed, it leaves our hand, but it doesn't leave our life. It goes into our future. It prepares our harvest. It waits on our arrival. Father, I thank you that you're ready to do something supernatural in our lives, that you're ready to do something big in our lives to the degree that we will just get in faith and trust you and believe big. And so I worship you for it, and I honor you for it, and I give you praise. Thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand? Praise all over the building.